earlier this month, I should say, I had a chance to visit this really cool exhibition here in New York City. It's lasting to the end of the month, and it's currently at 81 Leonard Gallery. But it's a lot of the imagery that I grew up with. It's a lot of the symbols that I grew up with because it is by Tejano artist Cande Aguilar. Now, Mr. Aguilar is not only a musician and an artist, but he's also a fellow Texan and a fellow border resident and somebody who can speak very much to what that life is like, not only because he uses that and infuses that life into his work, but also because once you're from the border, if you've lived there at any point in your life, you will always be somebody from the border. And so I'm very much excited to welcome Mr. Aguilar to talk about not only this exhibition called Barrio Pop, but all things of his work and everything that he's had a chance to do in his storied career. Mr. Aguilar, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, Jorge, thank you very much. I appreciate you going out to the show and reaching out to me for this this talk. I mean, it's what an honor it is to actually be showing in New York. You know, something that I've been, you know, working on or looking forward to or hoping to be discovered. You know, everything. You know, all the above. And finally, you know, I was able to achieve that that long time goal, and you know, very grateful for it.
What was it like to? Because when I was there at the gallery, there was at least 100 people who were inside, kind of going about looking at the different pieces of work. But when you see people take in your work, what is that feeling like? And is it something that ever changes based off of the gallery or the venue in which your art is being looked at?
Yeah, well, I mean, it is incredible for me to, you know, to experience that because, I mean, you're looking at, you're looking at colors and things that might be different from what, you know, what you might think New York might like, or, you know, people from New York and stuff. So, I mean, it was a pleasant surprise to hear, you know, the positive comments, you know, coming from New Yorkers, you know, the palette, you know, for my work is very sunny, you know, it's very bright and stuff. So, I was, you know, kind of, you know, wondering, you know, how it was going to be accepted. And so, you know, as you know, when here in Texas and the border region and, you know, for most part, Texas, you know, it's very, you know, very bright, and you know, it's always almost always sunny and you know, sort of dry, you know, and it's, you know, it doesn't, I mean, it rains, but it doesn't rain as much as it does in New York, and you know, things like that, you know play, I think they play a lot into the subconscious of people, you know, when they're looking at art and that kind of stuff. So you know, it's very interesting.
One of the best things I've loved. So when I was in college, I went to UT Austin and I took a Mexican art class. And I remember I was telling my dad, I said, the thing that I love about it is that everybody comes with their own perspective. Everybody comes with their own set of eyes and sort of because of whatever lived experiences they have, then they can project that onto whatever art that they see. And it's hard not for me to do that specifically because I know what that border life is like. I the words that were incorporated, some of the pictures that were incorporated in your work, it really does resonate and brings me closer to home. And I love that that's something that I can see from it, but the person next to me might have seen something else. And
yeah,
that's
right.
That's the cool beauty of it. And I'm curious, do you still live in Brownsville, sir?
Yeah, I'm still living here in Brownsville, and you know, I was born here, and you know, pretty much lived here all my life, and so you know that's what, you know, that's one of the things that makes it incredible for me to be able to actually, you know make my way to New York and actually show the work up there, is because, you know, I wanted to do it sort of on my terms. You know, I kind of thought, you know if I could you know make it to New York, but you know, still live here in Brownsville and sort of show, you know sort of contribute to a sort of cultural, you know, kind of situation where it's almost like if I'm, you know, putting in my little you know, 2 cents and my little file, you know, into the New York culture, you know, the New York history of art, right? And I mean, it's, you know, but truly coming from here, from the border, right? So it really is incredible, you know. I mean, and I don't even think it's ever been done as far as, you know, an artist living here in Brownsville, you know, actually, you know, having a solo show and an all-out show in New York, you know, I don't think it's ever been done. So I mean, it really is quite an honor, you know.
I personally have not had a chance to go to Brownsville, but I always feel as though if you've been to one city on the border, or especially if you have lived there at any point in your life, then you kind of get a sense as to what the other ones are like. But for our listeners and for our fans who are curious about what Brownsville life is like, how would you best describe what it's like to be from that side of Texas?
Well, I mean, you're right about what you just said, right, about the border sort of being very common to, even if it's way here down in South Texas, the tip of Texas, you know, traveling up all the way to El Paso, you know, all the border region is, you know, quite similar, you know, very similar. And so, you know, Brownsville in particular, I mean, you know, I always tell everybody, you know, if, you know, Brownsville is a great city to come and, you know, you can sort of retire, you know, and, you know, just enjoy your life, you know, I mean, we have, you know, Mexico right across the border. We have, you know, we have South Padre Island, the, you know, the beach, you know, maybe what, 20 miles away. So, I mean, it, you know, it really is quite an area to enjoy, you know, and it's not very fast paced, you know, it's pretty easy going, you know, the food is good. You know, people are, you know, are kind and, you know, as they were in New York, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, people aren't kind anywhere, you know, that factor is everywhere, you know, I was walking down the streets in New York and pretty much in shock, you know, with the amount of people that were out in the streets, you know, which is kind of relatable on a smaller scale if you go to Matamoros, because Matamoros, you know, people are out in the street also, you know, it really is a sort of like a very urban environment type of, you know, situation like in New York, but it's a smaller scale, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, you walking across people, all different kinds of backgrounds in New York, you know, that's also a big difference. And so, you know, you smile at anybody and they would, you know, smile back, you know, and nobody was rude or anything. Mm-hmm. So, but again, you know, here at Brownsville, I mean, you get to chill out, you know, as they say, and as an artist, I think it's a great place because, you know, I don't have to, you know, be hustle and bustle, you know, as much, you know, I mean, you know, like if I need a quart of paint or whatever, I can, you know, I can just go down here to the local hardware store and buy a can of paint, you know, without having to suffer an hour and a half or anything like that in traffic, you know. So, so, you know, I mean, it's a good place to settle down, you know.
You talked a little bit about the urbanness of either Matamoros or even Brownsville to an extent, but part of the title itself of the exhibition is called Barrio Pop. I'm curious, how did you narrow in on that one particularly to be the title of this really important work for you, considering it was now and is still going to be displayed here in New York until the end of the month?
Right. I mean, you know, Barrio Pop came along. As far as, you know, titling a body of work, back in 2002, around there, a buddy of mine, a real good friend of mine, Patrick Alvarez from here from Brownsville, and I had a show in McAllen, Texas, as you were mentioning, another border town here. Mm-hmm. And so, as we were, you know, talking about the work and, you know, how we were talking about, you know, things that, you know, were sort of, you know, common, you know, in the culture here, you know, we sort of came up with the idea of, you know, it's things that are popular, right? And so, you know, and then, you know, things that are coming from the actual barrio. And so, you know, as we put things together, you know, and in fact, I'm going to say that maybe my friend Patrick's the one that came up with the term. And so, you know, and I've always given him credit for that. Right. But Patrick no longer makes artwork. You know, he went on to become a teacher. And so, you know, I basically just, you know, kept on going with the artwork and kept the concept of Barrio Pop. Right. And so, you know, the idea of later on formalizing things as far as, you know, maybe things from art history, you know, combining them, juxtaposing them with local, you know, icons from our neighborhoods, right, from the mm-hmm. barrios. And so, you know, I mean, going back to when I was a kid, I mean, I was always fascinated with the idea of not the idea, but the experience of going to, let's say, a mom and pop store around the corner, right, la tiendita, as they mm-hmm. used to say, the little store, right. And so, in the little store, you would see, you know, all these handmade signs. You could tell that the owners would make their own signs and stuff like that. And then, you know, maybe in the afternoon, going to a McDonald's where it was a completely different experience. You know, the going from a mom and pop, you know, sort of, you know, hand painted signs to the McDonald's, a hard edge, you know, real professional looking, clean. You know, so that contrast, you know, was always very interesting to me, and I always thought that, you know, it sort of stayed with me, right, and it just made sense as I started creating art and thinking about, you know, the juxtapose of things, you know, next to each other and the different textures and things, and so, you know, that's an example, like I said, of how, you know, I thought about it, right, in mm-hmm. the beginning. And so, you know, here in Brownsville, as you know, and, you know, maybe Eagle Pass as well, you know, the museum life, and it's not as huge as New York or yeah, Los Angeles or
very the big few towns, right? Examples of that.
Right. Exactly. So, the sort of the streets, you know, the barrios were sort of my museum, right? I mean, the beautifully, like, you know what I mean? The beautifully, brightly painted houses, you know, and then, you know, to even go further, bright painted houses that were almost not even done, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. in the barrio, you would see a house that is half painted, you know, they never finished it, you know, and so that, you know, that also plays a little bit of humor into the work of barrio pop, you know, it also, you know, speaks about that, you know, and then again, you know, the hand painted street signs and all that stuff, all that stuff came back to me, you know, with this work, and so, you know, I use it as a form of, you know, language in the work, you know, and juxtaposing it with, again, like art history or the mass media, you know, cartoons, you know, what have you, you know.
Because for people who might not be too familiar with it, they might think it's just paint on a canvas, but it's not. There's all different incorporations of certain, materials to be able to create all the stuff with barrio pop. But there was one that stood out to me, of course, which was called The Immigrant. And we'll post the pictures of this online so that way people can see. But
sure.
It's an old school TV that's all fuzzy. And it's attached to what appears like, it looks like the form of a body, like the lower half of a body. And it's got tattered jeans. It's got, you know, the jeans are all filthy. And the idea is, and this is according to how it was described to those of us who went to the exhibit, it said it speaks right to the hardship of the American, the immigrant experience. The battered old TV is plugged in but plays only static. And that goes to show the immigrant's struggle to connect, communicate, and realize his version of the American dream. And then the figure itself with one shoe, torn pants, it just symbolizes the arduousness of the journey, because those of us who grew up on the border, we have either had family members who have had to make this journey, or we've seen other people who have had to make this journey. And so I'm curious, when you created The Immigrant as an installation piece, what was the process behind that, and how does it sit with you now, especially when you see other people look at it when it's displayed?
Yeah, I mean, and the funny thing is that, you know, this piece was created, you know, way before, you know, the issues, you know, really became national, and mm-hmm. you know, everybody, you know, was you know, thinking about this issue, the immigration. I made this piece back in 2006, and I mean, a lot of the times, you know, I get an idea for a piece, and And I started just kind of put things together, and it turns out to be something else, or, you know, it just takes on a whole different meaning. And so in this particular piece with the immigrant, you know, I had the idea that I, you know, wanted to sort of, bring forth the issue or an image of what an immigrant might be going through, right? And again, because, you know, as you mentioned, you know, we here in the border, we have, you know, we see it, you know, we see, you know, people maybe sometimes crossing and you know, you could tell, you know, they've been through, you know, quite a journey, you know. Yeah. You could tell, you know. And so, you know, back then, I don't know, it's just something that really, you know, it was just striking, you know, and it happened that it was sort of in my mind and in the back of my mind and my subconscious. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to, put some things together. And it just happens that, you know, with my assemblages in particular, you know, all the things that I put together in an assemblage are basically found objects, you know. And so what happened with this piece is that I just happened to find all the right elements to make up the immigrant. You know, it's not, again, it's not something that I sort of, you know, thought about in advance. You know, it's maybe something that I had in my subconscious, and it came forward. And with these particular, you know, items or found objects that I had found throughout, maybe, you know, in the course of a certain time, you know, I don't quite remember, you know, how long it took for it to come together, but it wasn't an overnight thing. You know, I came across, you know, let's say the bottom part of the piece, it's a star. It's basically a mom and pop, you know, sign. Mm-hmm. that is in the shape of a star. And so that star in particular has a dollar sign. And so, you know, that particular piece in the actual assemblage, you know, represents the idea of the immigrant sort of, you know, making the journey because of work, you know, because of necessity, right? The dollar mm-hmm. sign, that's what it represents. And so, you know, in the piece, there's also a golden chair. And so the golden chair, you know, sort of represents the idea of the dream, you know, the American dream, you know, the ultimate, you know, getting to the United States and, you know, establishing your job and the work and, you know, being able to feed your family, you know, and beyond that, you know, people make, you know, things go even further, right? They become, you know, great people, you know, so that's what the chair represents. And then the half mannequin, as you were mentioning, with the torn jeans and stuff. Well, you know, the mannequin I also, you know, sort of found, you know, and so, you know, the mannequin it didn't have any pants on or anything. So I mm-hmm. added the pants that I used to wear for my studio, you know. They're actually painter's pants, but they, you know, they have that impression of being dirty, right?
Yeah,
but
the more I look at it, it's like, oh yeah, they are totally painter's pants.
Yeah, they're painter's pants, right? So, but they, you know, they symbolize, they work, you know, they work in that aspect, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, I put on those pants on the half mannequin, and then, you know, some shoes, some painter shoes also that I had. And so I, you know, it has one shoe because, you know, as we know, you know, a lot of immigrants lose their
belongings
their
on the way,
or mm-hmm. exactly, or they wear them out, you know, and you know, all that. So it only has one shoe, which is, you know, relative to the situation, and then the TV itself also, you know, I mean, it does have, you know, it's always playing on a static, you know, it has, you know, the screen is always on black and white static, which you know, in addition to what you mentioned, you know, that it represented it. It also represents the idea of the unknown, you know, sort of the abstract of the journey, right? You know, the where you're going, but you know, the journey could bring, you know, many different situations where you know, you don't know exactly what's going to happen. So mm-hmm. so, you know, and again, you know, I'm not an immigrant. I know I was born here in the United States, but that is very close to what I feel an immigrant would go through, right?
And it's so, part of the narrative that we all seem to learn when we grow up on the border. It's especially with right. when you think about previous generations in our family. Like at some point, we have there is a little bit, but not a huge degree of separation between that experience and what we know to be true for ourselves.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, you're right about that. And so, I mean, you know, that piece is, you know, I'm very fond of it, you know, and I'm glad to, you know, ecstatic, you know, that the gallery and my dealer wanted to actually, you know, put it in the show, you know, and I thought it just made a lot of sense, you know, and so yeah, it's a very, very important part of the Barrio Pop, collection of work, right?
Mm-hmm. This particular piece notwithstanding, do you think that what you're doing is political because of this, the very nature of how the national conversation has politicized where we're from? But do you see what you do as political, or is it just Barrio Pop? It's the work of a man who knows this life and wants to share this life?
Yeah, I think the, you know, the latter part of what you said is probably more accurate. You know, I mean, I do have some pieces that poke fun at the current administration and that kind of stuff. That's mm-hmm. a little bit more conscious about that. But the immigrant in particular, that is, I think that goes further. You know, I think that's just really showing part of you know, really what the border can, you know, is and has always been. You know, I mean, it's nothing new here, right? I mean, you know, you basically have, you know, you have good people, you know, immigrating to the United States to work, you know, and to provide for their families. You know, that's what the raza is. You know, that's what mm-hmm. the Latino is. You know, really. You know, I mean, so to demonize, you know, that people, you know, that's just being a bully. You know, that's just using that to you know, gain, you know, popularity amongst a certain, you know, voting demographic. I think, you know, because it's totally. Definitely untrue,
So if in the New York City area, they have until the end of the month to be able to see Barrio Pop at the 81 Leonard Street Gallery. And the cool thing is, Hispanic Heritage Month, the exhibition will be able to go up until then. So it'll be a wonderful way for people to be able to see a specific area of Hispanic identity, the Tejano identity, the border identity. And I'm very glad that I had a chance to see it. So, Mr. Aguilar, thank you for the work that you do, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you, Jorge. And I really like to thank you for this opportunity to talk to your audience, and also, you know, to thank Nancy and Elaine at the gallery, and also my dealer in New York, Rick Michelle, also, and you know, these people have been wonderful and you know, giving me the opportunity to take this work to New York, and mm-hmm. so, you know, again, thank you very much.
Of course, sir.